here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. It's one of the most significant health challenges of the 21st century. And the more we learn about it, the worse it seems to get. Now, the thing is, there is something you can do about it, something God recommended thousands of years ago. But even though this divine prescription is extremely well known, over time, it has become less popular. Stress is a killer, a modern calamity. The world-renowned Mayo Clinic says that stress can affect your mood, your body, and your behavior. It can cause headaches, muscle tension, chest pain, fatigue. It can impact your libido, cause stomach upset, sleep problems, and a weakened immune system. It can cause anxiety, restlessness, memory problems, a lack of motivation or focus, grumpiness and sadness, and can prompt overeating or undereating, angry outbursts, drug or alcohol misuse, tobacco use, antisocial behavior, and on. All that from stress. And you likely know that. Most people deal with stress, which can be brought on by financial or social or medical or any number of situational reasons. You're late? Stress. You might lose your job? Stress. Pregnant? Stress. Flying? Stress, maybe. Driving? Stress. Bills to pay? Stress. Can't decide what to order and someone is telling you to hurry up? Stress. Shooting a crucial free throw, getting ready for dinner, running out of time, major assignment due, asking someone out on a date, getting asked out on a date, gaining weight, needing to lose weight, needing to gain weight, rushing to catch a train or a plane. These things which cause stress are everywhere. A little stress is fine, good for you in fact, but too much stress and you could easily get sick, have serious health problems, and end up in a very bad way. And along the way, your quality of life can suffer significantly. But looking down through the stream of time, God, in His wisdom and with a heart full of love, saw that stress would one day be a major issue. And so He built into the calendar a remedy for stress. Let's go back, way back. The children of Israel had just come out of Egyptian slavery. God was leading them to the Promised Land. They were on their way to take up their role as God's very own people in their very own land. This would be a fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, and from this people would come the Messiah. So God communicated to them the principles of His kingdom, and in doing so, revealed just what He was really like. Remember, they'd been enslaved for 400 years. They hadn't been the masters of their own destiny. So God would give them guidelines, rules for living. He said, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In other words, I have liberated you, freed you. So now that I've done that, you shall have no other gods before me. That's Exodus 20 verses 2 and 3, which stands to reason. God was their creator and their liberator. He'd made them and redeemed them. They were entirely dependent on Him. He'd sent the 10 plagues, intervened with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and then had opened up the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. This was pretty obvious. There's only one God, so have no other gods, because any other god would be a false god. Then a variation on that first word. In short, don't make graven images, statues and so forth, and don't bow down and worship them. Why would you worship the creation when you're able to worship the Creator? Idolatry lowers one's conception of God. It diminishes God, and therefore it diminishes you as a child of God. Then a third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Clearly connected with the first two commandments, dealing with the holiness of God and a person's relationship with God. This has to do with respect and remembering that God is God, not cheapening God in any way. And as well as this being about not using God's name as a common curse word, it also means don't take His name in vain by claiming to be His follower while you're not living like you're His follower. That kind of misrepresentation is taking God's name in vain. So let's look at this in terms of a remedy for stress, the silent killer. What would it do for you to know that you have a God, a sovereign God, the creator of all things? You could cast all your cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for you. You could come to Him if you labor and are heavy laden, know that He would give you rest. You could be still and know that He is God. And where it says be still in Psalm 46 and verse 10, that means to let something drop or to relax. Relax and know that I am God. But God added to this. This trust way to heaven, God, goes way beyond mental assent or just recognition. The comfort you to experience in knowing that God is God is to be accompanied by a certain action. And we find that in the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now look at what God did. Right there in humanity's moral code, God placed a remedy for stress, a divine prescription. He knew that 2,000 years after Jesus walked the earth, the devil would have everybody so busy, we wouldn't have time for God. So God gave us time. A 24-hour time period every single week where you can release the pressure valve on life and let off some of the steam. Years ago, it was common for people to cook with a pressure cooker, a tightly sealed pot that uses high pressure to cook food more quickly. The liquid inside the pot becomes steam, increasing the pressure in the pot, increasing the temperature in the pot, and therefore cooking food more quickly. Now, what I remember about the pressure cooker my mother had was that it was heavy and hazardous. The lid blew off it at least once. Whatever was inside went everywhere. I remember it was red, but I don't remember more than that. It wasn't uncommon for the valve on a pressure cooker to clog, and then a gasket might blow and the lid could go flying. Life can be like a pressure cooker. There's so much going on, so many demands, so much pressure. And that pressure can build until someone blows a gasket. So God said, take time out. I'm giving you 24 hours every 7 days to let the pressure off, to let the stress of life roll away. Perfect. God saw what we would need. Thousands of years ago, humanity couldn't see stress-related heart attacks, but God could. We couldn't see high blood pressure, but God could. We couldn't see stress driving people to drug and alcohol problems, but God could. And so He said, here's a simple remedy to help keep your head on straight, to let your anxiety go, to let the tension dissipate. Now, is this a magic bullet? Is it really that easy to get the stress out of life completely? We'll look at that in just a moment. Many things in life are here today and gone tomorrow, but some things are built to last. From the dawn of creation, God gave the human family an eternal sign, and we'd like to tell you more about it in our free offer entitled God's Eternal Sign. To get your copy, call 800-253-3000. Visit us online or write to the address on your screen. You can also text FREE SIGN to 71392. Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. If de-stressing was as easy as doing one simple thing, well, life would be a dream, wouldn't it? If you're unwell, A doctor isn't likely to tell you to just take this pill and then everything's going to be okay. If you're unhealthy, simply eating more vegetables isn't going to fix everything. It's a good start, but you also want to quit drinking and get some exercise and maybe get more sleep. Taking care of the stress in your life isn't simply a matter of doing just one thing, even if that one simple thing was given to you by God Himself. You might be placing yourself under undue stress by taking on too much. And in order to deal with your stress, you might want to back off a few things. It might be that your expectations from life are too high. Maybe your wants and your needs are out of alignment. Maybe you could get by with less house and fewer vehicles and less extravagant vacations. For some people, de-stressing means cutting back, doing less, not trying to keep up with the Joneses, worrying less about what other people think. It might be that you need to learn to worry less. Here's the Mayo Clinic again talking about how to deal with stress. They say people should exercise regularly, have a sense of humor, spend time with family and friends, set aside time for hobbies, read a book, listen to music, or go for a walk, get enough sleep, eat a healthy, balanced diet. Don't use tobacco, alcohol, or illegal substances. And there's something else. It's known that anger can trigger a heart attack and that it raises your blood pressure. So, less anger, less stress. Stress that's not dealt with can lead to health problems such as high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, obesity, and diabetes. The American Psychological Association says that stress affects all systems of the body. The musculoskeletal system. They say muscle tension is almost a reflex reaction to stress. The respiratory system. Stress can cause asthma attacks and shortness of breath. The cardiovascular system. Even short-term stress, being stuck in traffic or meeting deadlines, causes an increase in heart rate, while repeated acute stress can contribute to inflammation in the circulatory system. The endocrine, gastrointestinal, nervous, and male and female reproductive systems are all negatively affected by stress. It's bad stuff, which is why it isn't a surprise that thousands of years ago, God gave the human family a remedy for stress, a remedy for burnout. No, not a magic bullet. You wouldn't do just this and think all of the stress is going to melt out of your life. But with this being divinely ordained, why would you not do this? Every week, time away from the craziness of the world. And before anyone says, obeying God sounds like legalism, let me speak to that. I like what author Lauren Winner said. Practicing spiritual disciplines does not make us Christians. Instead, the practicing teaches us what it means to live as Christians. Let's look at the question of legalism. A man and woman are standing before a minister. They're 2/3 of the way through a wedding service and it's time for the vows. Do you, Maria, take this man, Jose, to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, in prosperity and adversity, as long as you both shall live? And Maria says, what are you, preacher? Some kind of legalist? That's crazy, right? Tayshawn, clean your room. All these rules, Dad. What an unhealthy way to run a family. Yeah, that boy's going to learn some lessons pretty quickly. The sign on the road says 35. You drive at 65. The police officer who pulls you over explains that you have broken the law. Try telling the police officer that he or she is being a legalist. That defense won't help you in a court of law. It seems as though we believe in law everywhere in the world except for in church. When people ignore the law in society, we call that anarchy. When they ignore it in church, that's called sin. John wrote that sin is the transgression of the law. There's zero problem with God's law. You want people obeying the law. If your neighbor is murdered, if your spouse cheats, if your home is broken into, if your friends lie to you, you're going to appreciate how wonderful it would be if people lived in harmony with the Ten Commandments. Yes, Paul did say that we're not under the law. He said that plainly, and he meant it. And he was correct when he said it. In Romans 6, verse 1, he asks a question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He answers that, God forbid, and says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. He's referencing dying to self and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you and guide you. Then he speaks about baptism, dying to the old life and being raised up to walk in what he calls newness of life. Knowing this, Paul writes, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He goes on, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then says that we should not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, that we shouldn't obey sin. He continues in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. He says in the next verse, shall we sin because that's the case? And he says, God forbid. Absolutely not. Paul then states that you're the servant of the one you choose to obey. You can yield to sin, which leads to death, or you can yield to obedience, which leads to righteousness. When he says that a believer in Jesus is not under the law, he means not under the law as a system of salvation, as a system of righteousness. And because, as Paul has already said, that all have sinned and that all need grace, if you ignore grace and choose to follow the law as a means of salvation, you'll be lost. Under the law doesn't mean obeying. Under the law means relying on your own works and living under the old covenant, where the approach is everything the Lord has said we will do. It's self-righteousness. Under grace, that's leaning on God for everything. You can't say, I'm under grace, so therefore I won't obey God. You would say, I'm under grace, so because I am spirit-filled, I will obey God, but only by His grace and only through His strength. And not because I believe this will merit salvation, but because through Jesus, I have salvation. That period of rest God has given the human family is an oasis in time. It's God limiting how much the world, how much life can encroach. It's time out for mental health and spiritual health. It's saying, no one is benefited if I burn myself out. It's time for what matters most. I'll be right back. There might be days when you just can't seem to find the energy to take on life's challenges. Moments or maybe days or weeks where basic tasks can feel overwhelming. Times when you feel as though your heart and mind are trapped in a fog. Countless people all around the world are dealing with the weight of depression. Most people will experience depression, either firsthand or in the lives of friends or family members. There's hardly a person on earth who hasn't in some way been touched by its weight. That's why I sat down with a mental health expert to discuss this vitally important subject. Join me and Dr. Neil Nedley as together we explore what actually works in helping battle depression, its root causes and its symptoms. Don't miss the helpful and practical information in this series, proven to benefit physical, mental and emotional health. Clearing the Fog. Available now on It Is Written TV. If you're looking for resources to share with others, people growing in their faith or people looking to know Jesus for the first time, if you're trying to find meaningful gifts or you want to enrich your own spiritual journey, visit itiswritten.shop. That's itiswritten.shop. Or you can call us at 888-664-5573. 888-664-5573. itiswritten.shop. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Many things in life are here today and gone tomorrow, but some things are built to last. From the dawn of creation, God gave the human family an eternal sign, and we'd like to tell you more about it in our free offer entitled God's Eternal Sign. To get your copy, call 800-253-3000. Visit us online or write to the address on your screen. You can also text FREE SIGN to 71392. The Bible is very clear about God's will for your life. God wants the very best for you. Jesus said He came into the world that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But the Mental Health Foundation in the UK said that in 2018, before the pandemic, 74% of people have felt so stressed that they've been overwhelmed or unable to cope. 46% reported that they ate too much or ate unhealthily due to stress, while 29% reported that they started drinking or increased their drinking. 16% said the same about smoking because of stress. Of the people who said they had felt stress at some point in their lives, 16% had self-harmed, and 32% had said they'd had suicidal thoughts and feelings. Of the adults who reported being stressed, 36% said it was due to their own health or that of a friend or relative. 22% cited debt. 36% of women who felt high levels of stress related it to their appearance or body image, while young people frequently cited pressure to succeed as a stressor. Now, not all of that is bad. Pressure to succeed is stressful, but you ought to want to succeed. A friend's poor health or your own, that probably should stress you to some degree. But you don't want to be overwhelmed by stress, and God certainly doesn't want that for you. Look at some of what the Bible says. This is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Earlier in the same chapter, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Be still and know that I am God. That's Psalm 46, verse 10. Earlier in the same chapter, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The point being, a connection with Jesus, experiencing salvation, should bring peace into your life. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. New Testament Bible writers often started their letters wishing peace to their readers. Jude, Revelation, 2 John, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Philemon, Titus, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and 1 and 2 Timothy all begin with the writer wishing peace to his readers. Jesus is the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. God is called the God of Peace in Romans 16 verse 20. So why isn't there peace? Too much going on. The pressures of life. Demanding schedules. Right. And while you can't sweep all that out of the way, you can come close to God and let the peace of Christ wash over you. And that's where the biblical concept of Sabbath matters. Taking time for God, hitting the pause button on your busy schedule, actually stepping back from the demands of life so that you're not going back to work on Monday for a rest from your hectic lifestyle. And this idea isn't about doing absolutely nothing. You can commune with God and worship on that day. You can block out distractions and spend time with church family or your own family. Being in nature is to see the artistry of the Creator and appreciate Him in His created works. The challenge is that too many of us are too busy getting stressed to take time to alleviate stress. The truth is, the experience of the Sabbath is precisely what Christians talk about experiencing and what they want to experience. More of Jesus, more of God's presence in your life, more assurance, more communing with God. Every believer wants that, or at least they say they do. Blocking out the world for a time and letting in more of the light of God's presence and therefore God's power. Many followers of God are searching for something they already have or something they have access to. Reminds me of the homeless man who died under a bridge in Wyoming on a frigid winter night without realizing his extremely wealthy aunt had died and left him millions of dollars. He didn't know what he had. And many followers of Jesus are drowning in stress without realizing God has gifted them rest, a relief, something that will be a source of strength physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you want that, don't you? You've heard Jesus invite you, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Let's pray now and thank God for his gift of rest. Our Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus, the Creator, grateful for all of his gifts, thanking you for the gift of time, the gift of rest. And as we contemplate that biblical concept of Sabbath, I pray we will find more time in our lives for Jesus, not less, that we'll learn to block out the world, not invite even more of it in, and that we'll take time for the one who matters most. We'll take adequate time, and we'll step back from the world, de-stress, and be filled with your presence and your power. We thank you for your great gifts towards us, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, be sure you get our free offer, God's Eternal Sign, and learn more about the gift of time, the gift of rest, and how God can take you to new heights as you receive more of his blessing and more of his presence. Call 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000, or get it online at iiwoffer.com. And thank you for your prayers and your financial support of It Is Written. We're reaching out around the world with the gospel of Christ in English and Spanish, and your support keeps this ministry on the front lines, bringing hope to people everywhere. If you're not receiving my daily devotional, Every Word, I hope you will. This brief devotional will bring the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life. Just head to itiswritten.com and sign up to receive Every Word daily. Won't cost you anything at all. There's zero obligation, and you'll receive a daily spiritual blessing. And to see our archives of this and other It Is Written programs, visit us online at itiswritten.tv. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship on this morning where we get to celebrate what God did during our week at Benton Harbor with our youth mission team. So they're almost all here today. One person couldn't make it, but we're grateful that they're here and they'll be sharing their stories with you about their experience in Benton Harbor as we go throughout our worship service. The slideshow today was put together by Lillian, one of our team members, and this is a lighthouse that we actually got to visit just over the bridge in St. Joseph from where we were in Benton Harbor. And so it's kind of a highlight that people go to see when they're in the area. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored by John and Jean Lippert in honor of all of their friends at Faith in Rock Creek. So thank you for your sponsorship as we gather together to worship. Our other announcements are mostly printed on the back of your bulletin. We have a number of meetings this week. Faith Dream Team is meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. On Tuesday, the pop-up pantry happens in Rock Falls at 1 o'clock, and we have a health fair meeting in at Dunn County at 2 for a health fair that we're doing at Rock Creek. And then Rock Creek has a couple of meetings Wednesday and Thursday. And then we'll be back here again for worship next week. Are there any other announcements as far as schedule goes? All right, well then what we're going to do today to give you a little taste of our mission trip is instead of confession and forgiveness, instead of thanksgiving for baptism, we're going to share with you sort of a spiritual practice that we learned on our mission trip. It's called Yay God. And we did this every evening when we gathered together after our work teams had been out serving in different parts of the community. We came back together for dinner and a time of worship. And at the beginning, we would share these Yay Gods. And so the idea is just to pay attention to where you notice God throughout the day. And so we're gonna invite you into this practice with us. All we do is just share a recent example of somewhere that we saw God at work in our lives. And after we say it, we say, yay God, for showing up, right? So does anyone have an example of a time recently that you have seen God at work in your life? It's gonna make you think a little more. It's not on the screen. Yeah. You're okay. Your move. So yay God. We all share in that. Yay God. Other yay God moments. Yeah.
Yay God for bringing our group back together because I haven't seen them all in one place since
in a whole week. Yeah. Yay God. How else is God working in your life right now? I just spent the week at Luther Park Bible Camp, one of my favorite places on earth, with my family and a bunch of families, and got to lead the adult Bible study, and it was fantastic. So, yay God. Anything else?
6 years of sobriety.
6 years of sobriety, yay God. Yeah. Amen. Losing 20 pounds, yay God. So the idea of this practice, is, and we noticed this too, when we started on Monday, it was pretty quiet. By Thursday, it just went on and on because people knew they were supposed to be paying attention throughout the day to notice where God was at work. And so we just wanted to demonstrate it for you and invite you throughout the week to look for God at work in your life as well. We'll continue with our opening hymn, which is Bind Us Together. The words are on the screen. It's also in your blue hymnal. Bind us together.
There is only one King.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of hope and love, we give you thanks for sending our mission trip team to Benton Harbor and returning them safely to us. Open our hearts to the stories they share about the people in whom they encounter you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're a little slim on young children this morning, but I'm still going to share the children's message with you because this was a theme that resounded throughout our time in Benton Harbor, and all it involved was a flashlight, right? So we got a flashlight, we turn it on, we can see a little better, especially if it's dark in here. And one person in particular that you'll hear more about from one of our mission trip team members was named Jerry. And he is a longtime mentor, coach. He has really influenced a lot of kids throughout his life. And he shared about this flashlight that all of us have, right? And he talked about how we can carry it in our pocket, but if we keep it in our pocket, it doesn't work very well, right? Because the light would be dimmed in our pocket. And so his encouragement to us was, of course, and it was a very God kind of thing, let your light shine. He didn't use the scripture, but he might as well have, because that was his point, that we all have these lights to shine, and that if we, like, once you turn on your own light, it encourages another person to let their light shine and their light, and, you know, eventually the whole room is full of light. He also commented that you don't need to be afraid to let your light shine in a big group, because, what did he say? Something like, if someone comes up to you and is trying to beat you up, we'll just use our flashlights and pound them, so... Maybe not the best use of your light that you have to shine, but anyway, it's an encouragement to us, a reminder of something that's really foundational to our faith, to keep letting our light shine. We'll continue with our centering song, Great Are You, Lord. This is one of our favorite songs that we sang together during our evening worship time.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life.
please stand as you're able as we welcome the word.
Listen, listen, God is calling through the word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
Our scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, this is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So we have some reflections from Benton Harbor, and they're through the people that we met. And so each of our participants has someone that they're going to share about. And we had photos of most of the people. So first of all, we're going to meet Jerry.
During my time in Benton Harbor, I had multiple encounters with different people from the community. One of them was Jerry. The first thing to know about Jerry is that he is one of the most friendly and caring people I've ever met, but he doesn't look the part. He is a skinny old man with lots of missing teeth, overgrown fingernails, and baggy clothes. If you were to see him on the street, you would never guess all he's done for his community. Jerry was an avid storyteller, especially when it came to his childhood. He was born and raised in Benton Harbor and had multiple siblings. Later, he married and had children before moving away in his older years. After 30 years away, he returned to Benton Harbor and was a city commissioner for 4 years. He also coached a girls' basketball team in the area. He proudly told anyone who would listen about the time he won a game with only 5 players. Jerry never failed to make me smile. Whether he was singing or dancing or telling yet another story, he always made the day brighter. Jerry was all around a great guy. It really shows that you can never judge a book by its cover. So if you take anything away from what I just read, let it be this. In a world where you can be anything, be like Jerry.
And now we'll meet Sharon. 2 people are speaking about her, so you guys can rock, paper, scissors. I didn't have a great photo of Sharon because she was always on the move, but this was a still photo of her from a video I took of her sharing, so...
I was fortunate to have the opportunity to interact with Sharon Brown on a couple of different occasions during our time in Benton Harbor. In addition to being her Uber between a couple of work sites, her home and her gallery, I learned many, many things about her outside of our group time. But on my first time that I met her, it was Monday night, and our group had the opportunity to visit the African American Art and Literature Gallery that was founded by Sharon and Mac Brown. As we made our way into the basement area for dinner, I wasn't sure what to expect. The space looked more like a thrift store with mismatched furniture, books piled on every flat surface, and racks of clothes throughout the space. I wasn't sure how 70 people were going to eat dinner in this space, but as I looked around, it was clear the only people having these thoughts were the chaperones. The kids quickly found pizza and a place to sit, or in some cases lean, and never really gave their surroundings a second thought, other than what path was the shortest to get to the pizza for seconds. After dinner, we made our way upstairs, where we were greeted by Mac and Sharon and encouraged to look around and be nosy. Which was not a problem for anyone in our group. For the next hour, Sharon told us the story of how the gallery came to be and the significance of having this gallery not only in Benton Harbor, but also in the neighborhood where it was accessible to the people who lived there so they could learn about their history and its significance. Sharon was a captivating speaker. I liken her to a cross between a university professor and a Baptist preacher, and she was very easy to listen to. She had a lot of information about the gallery and the exhibits, but her message was so much more than the things in the room. She described in vivid detail the tale of 2 cities, sister cities in fact, Benton Harbor and St. Joseph's, that were less like sisters and more like strangers. She talked about race and inequality in a way that many in the room had never heard from the lens of someone who was on the other side.
Sharon, an experience in the community was the African American Literature and Art Gallery. The owner, Sharon, who was an incredible lady, who definitely had a unique personality and perspective on absolutely everything in life. My work crew got to spend extra time with her as we went to her gallery and pulled weeds and cut back tarp. She welcomed us to her home and gave us s'mores. A lot of s'mores. If you haven't met her, she would come off as very wild, but when you listen to the things she is saying, you can tell that her faith directs her and her personality is complete kindness and is very generous to her community.
Now we'll meet Emma, who is the woman sitting on the right on the walker.
From afar, the Fresh Start Garden may look like your average community garden, but if you took a look deeper, you will find that it is much more than that. It's not until you go inside and meet the person who started all of it that you can see how it's more than just a garden. I chose to talk about Emma's garden because of her story. Her story is one of the ones that stuck with me the most. I wasn't thrilled about working in the garden at first. That was until I got there and met Emma. From the moment we met Emma, she was very welcoming. You could immediately tell that she was a very friendly person. It was really cool to hear about her and the purpose of her garden. She wanted to create a place for the neighborhood, to create a place where children were welcome, to help and be a part of the place, and also to be a space where they could learn all kinds of things. It also is a place where people can come and get fresh vegetables in a town that doesn't have much access to things like that. But that is not what I remember most about the time we spent with Emma. She told us a story about how, from a very young age, she had her first encounter with racism, and how at the time, she did not know that was what happened, so for a while, she thought that there was something wrong with her. Then she read us the children's book she wrote called The Cookie Race. It was a beautiful story about how everyone is different, but everyone has something special to offer. I am really glad I got to meet Emma and that she shared her story with us, and I only hope that one day in the future, I can find a way to help people as much as Emma has helped her community.
Well, next we'll meet Journey.
Journey is a little boy that we met while taking a lunch break at a park in Benton Harbor. As soon as our group of seven girls sat down to eat, Journey came right over to our table and sat down with his bluey sippy cup in hand and a big smile on his face. That's when we knew he became a part of our group. While we were playing on the playground with him, my mom went over to the table where his mom, Charity, was sitting and started talking to her. For us, it just seemed like a normal interaction with a cute kid who just wanted to play with someone, but we later learned that it meant much more than we thought. Charity was talking about how grateful she was that we were not only including him in our conversations and team building time, but running around and playing with him too. Charity also told us that she was working at Taco Bell and trying to get back to go back to school for criminal justice so that Journey could have a better life. As well as sharing about her life, she shared about Journey's too. She told us about how he had a speech impediment, how he absolutely adored kids, how he recently turned 3, and now it was her day off, so she brought him to the park because he also loved parks. When I first saw him come running up to us at lunch, I never could have expected how much of an impact he could have. It was clear we had an impact on him too. Like when he would say, "Come on, park," or when he would say something we couldn't quite understand, but we would nod our heads and smile anyways. When we had to leave, he started crying. That's when it was obvious that he was going to miss us just as much as we were going to miss him.
Now, Abby and Caden, Abby's standing behind the woman in the black shirt in the chair, and then Caden's in the orange shirt. They're off to the right.
On our Benton Harbor trip to Michigan, we were put on service crews, which were just the group of people that we were going to work with all week. Many people had different personalities and were put together to serve the community for the week.
Going into our first project, you could tell Abby and Caden both came here with an open mindset and incredible worth ethic. And immediately we were ready to take on these challenges to improve the community. Not only were they, like, extremely ready to work, they never complained once our entire trip. And they were just super nice people. And they had went on a bunch of mission trips before this. And they just absolutely love them. So.
I first heard about these little girls when Addie, Sophie, and Maria's group encountered them at the park, the same park where they met Journey. Mm-hmm. Kendra insisted we go to a nice park where the girls met their new friend Journey and these girls, and sure enough, they were still there hanging out under the pavilion. There were a bunch of different kids in their camp playing at the park, and we decided to sit and join them for lunch. Right away, the girls were shy, but then one of them said, "No, they won't let you do their hair." And we knew that it was the same girls that wanted to braid their other girls' hair the day prior. But they had to leave before they could do their hair. Luckily, we had enough time, and the four girls started braiding Scout, Kendra, and my hair, and were thrilled. Shortly after, they had to leave with their group, but that was one of our fun, unexpected encounters with the community of Benton Harbor.
So I'm going to share about Carissa, and I don't have a photo of her because she is a photographer, and as is often the case with photographers, they spend a lot of time hiding behind their camera. But we met her when my work group was assigned to attend the local farmers market. And these are some of the photos that she's taken. The one in the right next to the heart is that same lighthouse that we showed you at the beginning, but it's during winter, and she captured it when it was covered in ice. Anyway, she was a very talented photographer, and I kind of struck up a fast friendship with her, bought a few of her photos on magnets. And when I was done talking to her and praising her work, her mom was there with her, and she said, "Thank you so much for encouraging my daughter." And I don't know all of Carissa's story, but I suspect that she has had a hard road to where she has gotten with her photography business. And it was really a blessing to meet her and her mom and get to talk to her. And the reason I shared this photo and now these photos from the rest of our trip is that before we got to Benton Harbor, we did some team building activities. And one of the things I did was give the kids a written photo. And I asked them to tell me the story of the person just based on the photo that they were looking at. So they made up stories about the people and what they thought their life was like. And then I shared an actual written profile of the person's story. And I think all of us were impacted by that activity, reminding us that you cannot judge a book by its cover, that everyone has a story, everyone has a past, and you just can't know it unless you take time to be in relationship with them. And so I'm so grateful that it was our mission team, the kids' idea, to bring back stories of the people they met. Instead of telling you how hard they worked, even though we did, and how much we sweated, even though we did, that's not what we're taking away from the trip. We're taking away the relationships that were built and the people we got to meet and the stories that we got to hear that keep us, as our scripture said, grounded and rooted in our shared love of Jesus Christ. So I'm so grateful that we had this opportunity, that you as a congregation supported us. Thank you so much for your financial support and your prayers as we set out on this adventure. And we're already talking about where should we go next year. So we're really excited to keep being on this mission together. We'll sing together our hymn of the day, Morning Cry.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. voice of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living God, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized, to see